In the next half hour of All Things Considered, we'll hear from some of the Democratic presidential candidates who debated today in Iowa. First, an update on Afghanistan, which has a new constitution today. After weeks of debate, Afghans worked out a replacement for a constitution that was written in 1964, before the Soviet occupation, before the Civil War, before years of Taliban rule in that country. The new constitution holds the promise of a different era for Afghanistan, complete with free elections, some rights for women, and guarantees for ethnic minorities. And to learn more about this, we've placed a satellite phone call to New York Times reporter Carlotta Gall, who is in Kabul. And Carlotta, tell me first about this Loya Jirga, the assembly that approved the constitution.
It was 502 people. They came from every part of Afghanistan. They included 100 women who were mostly selected. But most of the delegates, 450, were actually elected. So they were local representatives of the people.
Did they actually vote on this document that they approved today?
They didn't, actually. They worked on it over 3 weeks, including in working committees and in the General Assembly. And then today they finally realized they'd finished all the last amendments and agreements which were discussed and sent back and forth from differing groups who had differing ideas. And then today they were just asked to pray, and then they all stood for a moment silent in respect of the new constitution. That's it. It's done and it's approved.
Silly question perhaps, but how do we know that everybody approved of this thing?
The Loya Jirga is actually a very Afghan institution where they discuss endlessly, and then they all just decide by sort of communal decision that that's it, we've got there. There was at one point an effort to have votes on the last issues, but actually that didn't work, and a larger number boycotted because they didn't want to settle it by vote, and they ended up negotiating compromises over every single article so that every group finally said, yes, okay, we agree. And they didn't even do a show of hands, which is actually what we did expect.
So what kind of government does this gigantic compromise produce, and when will that government be elected?
It's a presidential system with a very strong presidency. There's also going to be a two-chamber parliament who will legislate, but by and large it's based on the American system. And then it's supposed to have an independent judiciary and a constitutional commission, and had a lot of clauses in reflecting observance of international human rights declarations and a nod to the women as equal citizens of the country. And then, of course, they had this ethnic language right, which came up at the very end and is actually very forward-looking, because all the ethnic groups had their language recognized as an official language in the areas where they are the majority who speak that language. So it's really a pretty remarkable document. Of course, it also recognizes how strong Islam is to the Afghans and in the country. So it's going to be called an Islamic Republic of Afghanistan.
If they're calling it an Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, what makes it Islamic other than the name?
The religion is the sacred religion of Islam. And also, although it's going to have a civil law system, they put in a phrase in the introduction that no law should be contrary to the beliefs and provisions of Islam.
Do you think that this document embraces a form of Islam that includes room for human rights and women's rights, or is this a document that really leaves that debate for another day?
I think it leaves it open for debate, because as everyone seems to say here, that it will depend on interpretation of Islam and depend on who's the president.
We've been speaking by satellite telephone with Carlotta Gall of the New York Times in Kabul, Afghanistan. And Carlotta, good to talk to you again. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot.